Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining Eurobank Ergasias conference call to present and discuss the third quarter 2018 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Theodore Kalladonis, Deputy CEO. Mr. Kalladonis, you may now proceed.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank third quarter 2018 results presentation. I will start with a brief overview of our results, then our Chief Financial Officer, Harris Kokologiannis, will give you a more detailed presentation, and finally, we will answer your questions during the Q&A session. Let me start with the macroeconomic conditions, which remain stable despite market turmoil in the European periphery and emerging markets. GDP growth is expected around 2% for 2018 and 2.3%-2.4% for 2019, according to the official projections. However, the Athens Stock Exchange and GDP performance has been weak, and the sovereign has abstained from tapping the debt capital markets. Now, focusing on the highlights of our third quarter financial results shown on page four, net profits reached 59 million in the third quarter and 172 million in the first nine months of the year. The core pre-provision income increased by roughly 1% year-on-year, with net interest income decreasing by 2.6%, but fees and commissions being stronger by 10% on an annual basis. Operating expenses were down 3.8% and 2.3% year-on-year in Greece and across the group respectively. Our asset quality metrics reflect the recent disposal of 1 billion consumer unsecured loans. The NPE stock was reduced by 1.3 billion in the last quarter and 2.4 billion since the beginning of the year. Excluding the disposal and despite the seasonality of Q3, the NPE formation was negative at 110 million euro. The NPE ratio decreased further by 170 basis points in the last quarter, thus dropped below 40% for the first time and reached 39%. The ratio of provisions over NPEs is now 54%. Our Next 3-year plan from 2019 to 2021 is front-loaded and will leave the NPE ratio at circa 15% at the group level by the end of 2021. Our CFO will elaborate on this later. Based on our operating performance to date, we are confident we can implement this plan successfully. The plan execution will be supported by our strong pre-provision income capacity and will not affect negatively our capital base. On liquidity, our deposits increased by 1.2 billion in the last quarter, of which 0.7 billion euro in Greece. It is worth mentioning that Greek deposits are up by 3 billion euro in the first nine months. ELA funding further decreased to 1.2 billion, down by 6.7 billion since December 2017. Finally, our loan-to-deposit ratio improved further and dropped to 95.5%. Our total capital adequacy ratio stood at 17.1%, while the CET1 ratio at 14.6% and the fully loaded Basel III ratio at 11.7%. Our international operations are consistently profitable and self-funded, while profits increased by 17% year-on-year, reaching 113 million euro in the first nine months of the year. We continue to build on our international franchise with the recently announced acquisition of Piraeus Bank Bulgaria, an acquisition that helped us rank as the third biggest bank in the country, add 24 million euro per annum of synergies to the net income, and thus further diversify our profit base. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, to present our results in detail before opening the Q&A session. Harris.
Thank you, Theodore. Moving on slide 7 and on funding liquidity. As shown on the top left of the page, the latest rating of ELA funding stands at 1.2 billion euro, that is 2.6 billion lower than second quarter's rating. The decrease is mainly driven by deposits inflows, loan deleveraging, and market repos. ELA is expected to be further reduced at close to zero levels by the end of the year, as a result of repos with retained cover bonds and securitization of consumer and small business loans. As regards the capital position on page 8, in the third quarter, the fully loaded CET1 ratio amounted to 11.7%, lower by 20 basis points versus the previous period, as a result of higher RWAs and the impact of GDP market, which offset the quarterly profitability. The phasing CET1 ratio amounted to 14.6%, while the total capital ratio, including the Tier 2 bonds, amounted to 17.1%. Moving on page 12 and to loans and deposits evolution. In the third quarter of the year, gross loans, excluding write-offs and FX effect, decreased by 140 million euro, as the growth of the international portfolio was offset by lower volumes in Greece. Group deposits increased by 1.2 billion euro, out of which 0.7 billion coming from Greece. Year to date, group deposits increased by 3.7 billion euro, 80% of which coming from the Greek business. As a result, net loans to deposit ratio decreased further this quarter to 95.5%. On page 15, net interest income for the group decreased by 1% this quarter to 352 million euro, as the lower lending margin and the higher volume of repos and securitizations for liquidity purposes offset the lower ELA cost and the higher income from bonds and international operations. On page 16, net commission income increased in the third quarter to 79 million. Market and capital markets. Year on year, fees and commissions are higher by 9.8%, while the fees over assets ratio amounted to 55 basis points. On page 17, operating expenses decreased on a yearly basis by 2.3% for the group and by 3.8% in Greece as a result of lower personnel costs that offset the higher capex depreciation in an environment of increasing investments for IT and digital. Further on pre-provision income and on page 5, on the top left of the page, our core PPI increased by approximately 1% on a quarterly and yearly basis, as the lower lending margin and the Tier 2 costs were fully offset by lower ELA costs, higher fee income, and lower operating expenses. Furthermore, pre-provision income increased this quarter to 255 million euro, also supported by higher other income. On page 9 and on international business, net profit from recurring operations for the third quarter amounted to 40 million euro, at par with the previous quarter. For the 9 months of the year, net income amounted to 113 million euro, higher by 17% versus last year, mainly as a result of the escalating cost of risk. On page 10, the main highlights of the recent acquisition of Piraeus Bank Bulgaria are presented. Specifically, upon completion of the transaction, Postbank, our local subsidiary, becomes the third largest player in the Bulgarian market, with a market share in terms of loans of 12%. Pro forma core PPI of 150 million and net profit of 70 million euro. Such transaction fully reflects our strategy for strengthening our franchise in the region and diversifying our income base. Moving on asset quality and on page 6. As shown on the top left of the page, negative NP formation amounted this quarter to €110 million, lower than the previous period and similar to the third quarter of last year. In last October, it was agreed the sale of €1 billion consumer unsecured NP loans. Consequently, this portfolio was classified as held for sale in the third quarter. As a result of the above, the NPE ratio decreased to 39%, lower by 170 basis points versus the previous quarter, and by 570 basis points versus 1 year ago. Provisions in the third quarter amounted to €176 million, and cost of risk over net loans to 2%. Finally, NPE coverage amounted to 53.7%, following the extensive write-offs that accompanied the sale of the secured portfolio. Continuing with asset quality on page 19, it is shown that in the third quarter, NPEs are per SSM perimeter decreased by €1.2 billion and amounted to €16.1 billion, as compared to a target of €17.3 billion, mainly due to the anticipation of consumer unsecured portfolio sale one quarter earlier. Finally, on page 25, it is shown that the new NPE reduction plan submitted to SSM at the end of last September. According to this plan, the bank contemplates the decrease of its NPEs in the next three-year period by almost €10 billion to €5.4 billion. This translates to an NPE ratio of 17% for the bank and 15% for the group. The plan is front-loaded, as 75% of it will have been completed in the first 2 years of the plan period. In addition, 55% of the reduction is expected to come from outright sales and securitizations, 23% from liquidations, 16% from negative flows, and the rest from write-offs. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
First question comes from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead. Mr. Floriani Jonas, please go ahead, sir. We will continue with the second question. Second question comes from the line of Abad Hossa with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much for your presentation. Good afternoon. And so two questions from my side. The first one is that we've seen a big impact, actually positive impact in fee income coming from capital markets. We would appreciate if you could actually give us a bit some color on what is actually driving this and how recurrent that could be. Second question is that we've seen in the NPE formation, NPE inflows is the highest since Q3 17. Net NPE outflows is also the lowest as a result of over the last year. So what is actually, you could tell us a bit, what are the underlying drivers of these dynamics? Thank you very much.
Okay. First of all, I will answer the second question, and then I will pass the floor to Harris for the first one. Traditionally, the third quarter of any year, I mean the same applies for every year, is a weak quarter, mainly due to seasonality and especially the summer vacations. Especially August in Greece is practically a very low production month. In addition to this seasonality factor, this particular year has also been affected by some technical errors. And looking forward, and I think this is the most important, on the fourth quarter, we expect to have a very, very strong quarter in terms of all drivers, in terms of inflows, in terms of outflows, in terms of cash payments. So, we expect the net NPE flows to be more than two times better than the third quarter, and the same also will apply for the NPL formation. And if you are wondering what is these technical factors, practically some of the curings and the liquidations who which should be booked on the third quarter, will be recorded on the fourth quarter. Sorry, not technical errors, technical factors, I meant. Harry.
So to answer your first part of the question, you know that Eurobank is very active in business transactions, including privatizations, M&A and other transactions as investment banker, having a leading role in the Greek market. Also, apart from that, we are also active in derivatives with clients where we get fees. This is something that of course has some volatility, but also in the fourth quarter we should expect a similar level.
Okay, and beyond Q4, should we expect actually like this number to be a new run rate for this number? Because even adjusting for seasonality, actually this number is significantly higher than what it was actually a year ago, no? So should we assume that this 15 million is going to be around the new run rate for that or no?
For the fourth quarter, for sure. Now regarding the first quarter of next year, it is sure that there is a negative seasonality, but the total level of fees and commissions has shown quite satisfactory re-rating.
The next question comes from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi guys. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, okay, sorry. I think I had a problem here. So thanks for the presentation, guys. So my question goes to back up to slide 25 on your new NP plan. Do you have any view you can share in regards to capital levels throughout the period into 2021? And then the second question follows that, but then shifts more towards what the Bank of Greece just released on the NP plan. Pretty much in line with what we were hearing from the press before on the 50 billion reduction using the DTCs, but I think the information now is that, you know, the impact on CET1 would be around, potentially around the 3 percentage point level, you know, depending on the amount of NPEs transferred. So just wanted to hear from your side, you know, what is your take on this plan and how are you planning to position Eurobank to benefit from the SPV, but also then the new SPV plan combined with the existing plan, which, if I'm not mistaken, probably does not include the potential of the securitization via the SPV, right, on your 50% reduction there. So, yeah, that was it for me, Ryan.
Sure. You have a lot of points raised, first of all regarding how our new three-year plan affects capital. First of all, we have to accept that we have an annual pre-provision income base of approximately 900 million euro. The overall cost of risk, which includes for next 3 years, which includes the loss budget of transaction liquidation, but also the positive impact of curing, is estimated between 1.7-1.8% for 2019, between 1.5-1.6% for 2020, and between 1.3-1.4% for 2021. The combination of pre-provision income and cost of risk implies that not only the bank maintains its capital base, but has room for some organic capital generation, especially for more visible for the years 2022 and 2021. Now, regarding the Bank of Greece plan, as well as the so-called ADS, the Asset Protection Scheme, my first statement is that the execution of our 3-year NPE reduction plan does not require any additional tools vis-à-vis what is available today. During the last month, these new proposals have come into light. I have not the time to go through the details of the Bank of Greece plan that was just released. Both ideas are quite interesting. The APS proposal has already been applied in another country and appears to be, let's say, at a more advanced stage in terms of preparation and discussion with the relevant authorities. But anyway, both plans, if implemented, it will assist further in the execution of the NPE reduction plan. Now, regarding your comments about the potential impact of Bank of Greece plan implementation to the CET1 capital of the banks, as we said, the plan was presented to us last week. It appears that the plan should be discussed further with a number of stakeholders. So far, we have not reviewed how this could be applied to our balance sheet, and we have not reconciled any capital impact on Eurobank. Therefore, it is very early to comment further on that. Now, regarding the securitization that we have already launched to the market, and this is an opportunity to update you on the recent developments, we have initiated the process a few days ago, distributing the teasers, and early indications show that there is a strong investor interest on the transaction. We expect to receive non-binding offers by the end of January of next year, binding offers by the end of March, and closing of the transaction in the second quarter of 2019. This is a securitization which will lead to the derecognition of 2 billion mortgage NPEs based on significant risk transfer rules. And there will be three tranches, the senior, the junior, and the mezz, out of which junior and mezz will be sold to the market. And the answer is that we have not taken into account in the economics of the transaction the impact of any potential scheme that may come later, such as the GACS, the APS. So that's my answer.
Okay, so just, I mean, just to clarify, so as it stands, you know, your plan is to bring the stock down to the 5.4 billion in 2021. If you guys find the SPV/APS attractive in some way, you'd be considering then the transfer of part of your portfolio, which you're not obliged to participate, as far as I understand, right? And also, it's up to you to decide what kind of mix of exposures you're willing to transfer into the SPV. So I think that everything related to that will come at a later stage that, you know, in due course, then you communicate to the market as you should, right?
Yes, for sure. The scheme is completely voluntary. Once it proceeds and gets all the necessary approval and clearances, of course, we are going to assess the economics. If it is to the benefit of the bank, we may, in the future, opt in.
Great. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kepaptsoglou Iason with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Two questions from my side, and to a certain extent, we will be just clarifying what you've already said. Can I confirm, taking everything you've said so far with regards to asset quality, given the plan you have going forward, there doesn't need to be any improvements in the net NPE flow or the economic situation or collateral values or the values you're getting from NPL sales in order for us to see a reduction, a gradual reduction in the cost of risk going forward, combined with capital accretion? That's question number one. And then the second question, with regards to this Bank of Greece plan or idea, if I may call it that, do we have any idea of what the timing for that could potentially be? And then separately, if they are correct in their estimation of the impact on capital. So if the offer on the table is that you get rid of, say, half your NPEs and your capital ratios go down by 300 basis points, would those be economic terms that you would be willing to accept? Thank you.
Josip, let me start. Hello. Let me start from the second question. As I said, a number of legal, tax, and accounting issues have to be overcome before taking a firm position on that plan and assess the economics, including the capital impact. So it is very early to make any further comment on the potential functioning of this plan. Let us spend some time to examine the plan itself, see the reaction of critical stakeholders and the clearance of the authorities that should be provided, and then come again in having a more clear view. I would ask you to repeat the first part of the question so as not to say something that does not correspond to you, to your question.
Okay, so you've told us that you expect a reduction in the cost of risk. So the loss budget and the cost of risk guidance for 2019, 2020, and 2021 is for a downwards trajectory. You've also told us that given that and the combination of a pre-provision profit of 900 million, it means that the bank will be capital accretive. Can I just confirm that underlying those assumptions, there's no meaningful, noticeable improvements in net flows of NPEs, in the economic situation, in unemployment, in asset prices, et cetera, et cetera. So everything that we're talking about is on the status quo, on the endogenous ability of Eurobank to reduce NPEs. It doesn't presuppose some, you know, very positive dynamic for external factors.
Okay, let's say hello to...
Yes, you are right. The underlying macroeconomic assumptions that we have assumed for the execution of the three-year plan are quite conservative. For example, the GDP ratio is assumed to grow by around 2% plus or minus per annum for the next 3 years, and the unemployment also falling gradually, but not to say spectacularly. And in terms of the real estate prices, we assume a stabilization and a moderate growth for the next year period. So these are the assumptions. Obviously, if things in the economy move better, this will definitely influence positively the NPE net flows, but this is not put into our plan. Overall, I would like to repeat that although we seem quite aggressive in the sense that from a current ratio of 43% NPE ratio in Greece assumed to go down 17% in Greece and 15% for the group, we are very confident that this is a realistic plan which we can deliver. Obviously, the mix is different from the old plan. It is much more skewed towards, say, securitizations and sales, and less so on the NPE net flow coming from restructurings and cash collections. But this has to do practically with the fact that within 3 years we have to go down faster than, say, initially planned in the past, and that's the reason, if you like.
Okay, and if I may follow up on the economic terms of a transaction, if we forget about the Bank of Greece plan for a second here, do you think it makes financial sense for you to drop your NPE ratio down by half, and let's assume that nothing else changes in terms of, you know, coverage levels or the mix of NPEs that you will be selling, if you are sacrificing, let's say, 300 basis points of capital? So do you think that's an economically beneficial transaction for you? Because so far what we've seen in terms of NPL sales has been either capital neutral or capital accretive. So this is just something relatively new, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on this.
The answer would be pragmatic. Actually, we have prepared a plan that takes into account our capital funds, our capital standing, our future profitability, and our wish of SSM for a quick de-escalation of NPEs to a level that is the best among peers. I'm talking about the 15% in 2021. So I would say that your question is good, but it's quite theoretical. So what we present is our plan that has taken into account all the parameters as far as capital and capital profitability and our intention for a quick reduction of the bills.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Bayraktari Agiliki with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions on my side. Thank you for the information on your 2021 NPE reduction plan. My first question is, has this been approved by the SSM or are you currently discussing it with the SSM and you will receive a definite answer in the future? And if yes, then when will we know for sure that this is your final plan? Secondly, when I read the financial stability report, which was published today by the Bank of Greece, I read that the reason for this securitization proposal is to go to a single-digit NPE ratio after 2 to 3 years. And I see that in your plan, your NPE ratio is 15% in 2021, which indeed is a very big reduction compared to where you are now. But my question is there any pressure for you to go even lower, given where the rest of the European banks are going to be? Related to that, I can see that your NPE reduction is quite front-loaded. Is there any chance you could do more in the later years of the plan so that, you know, your cost of risk is not going to be actually 1.2 to 1.3% in 2020, 2021, but is actually going to be closer to 2% in order to go to a single-digit NPE ratio as envisaged by the Bank of Greece sooner? And the last question, could you please provide us with the sensitivity to the GGB spread moves in CET1? So, for example, if the GGB spread moves by 50 or 100 bps, how much is the impact on your CET1? Thank you.
Thank you, Angeliki, for your questions. First of all, regarding the approval from SSM, the answer is we have submitted this plan at the end of September and we are currently in a dialogue with SSM that will last until March, where we have when we have also to submit an enriched plan in the sense that will include also our Greek and foreign subsidiaries and some more information about repossessed assets. So the final approval is expected by the end of March. So far, we have not observed something for showing that SSM is not happy about the submitted plan. On the contrary, given that we show the ending point B, it looks as the best among peers, they look quite happy about the progress we envisage to make. But regarding final approval, this has to be provided by the end of March. Regarding your comment about the wish of SSM to go to a single-digit NPE percentage in 3 years' time, from our experience dealing with SSM, it is that they understand the Greek the Greek context and the Greek peculiarity. So the initial context that we have been communicating is to be at an NPS of below 10% at the end of the at the end of the 2021. So by being at 15%, we think that more than satisfied is this direction. Now, regarding whether we intend to further front load our plan, as we have seen also from our from the performance in the previous plan, our first objective is to execute this plan and to a second degree to outperform that. So our first and primary objective is to execute the plan in, if the conditions are appropriate, of course, to outperform as we have done so far. And regarding your GDP, maybe you can put your question.
Yes. What is the sensitivity, for example, to a 50 bps or 100 bps increase in the GDP spread to your CET1 ratio?
I will go the reverse. The movement of close to 75 basis points is close to 100 million euros.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Boulougouris Alexandros with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. Just a quick question regarding what you said earlier about the net NPE flows in the fourth quarter. Just to clarify, you said that it will be significantly better compared to the third quarter, and it will be similar to the levels we saw in Q2 and Q1 or something along these lines. This is my first question. And the second one regarding the coverage ratio, we saw a drop in the third quarter due to the NPL sales, I assume. In the plan you have on page 25, how do you see the coverage evolving at the end of 2021? That's all on my end. Thank you.
Okay. So as far as the first question is concerned, I would like to repeat once again that the third quarter was a weak quarter, but that was assumed on our 2018 plan. It was not a surprise to us. And we expect a very strong fourth quarter, much stronger than the second quarter and the first quarter. So, generally speaking, both the NPE formation and the NPL formation will be two, five, maybe more, better than the third one. And if you remember, in the previous conference call during the second quarter results, we said that during the second semester of this year, we will achieve a 2 billion reduction in terms of NPE stock. So practically, there is around 700 to 800 billion euro reduction which has to be done during the fourth quarter. And we are very confident that we will achieve that.
So regarding your question about coverage, the answer is that we completed the transaction of Zenith, i.e. the sale of 1 billion euro consumer secured loans, and given that we proceeded to extensive write-offs, this led to a decrease of NPE, but anyway at levels comfortably above 50. Now regarding our ending, let's say our concluding coverage at the end of the planning horizon, it should be expected to be higher than 50%.
Sorry, higher than 50%?
Yes, higher than 50.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, my question is on slide 15 on your NII breakdown and evolution. Just wondering if there's any, if you can share any views towards 2019. I'm interested to understand what are you kind of estimating in terms of the loan component of the NII breakdown. I assume that also going into 2019, the benefits from the euro system will be going down to zero. So you know the loan portion of it will be quite important going forward. So if there's anything you can share on that, it will be great. Thanks.
So thank you for your question. This is a good opportunity to provide you a picture regarding, in general, pre-provision income for the rest of 2018 and some first views regarding regarding 2019. So regarding the current year, we should expect on NII low single rate reduction at the area of 3.5%. On fees and commission, we should expect a double-digit increase. This is the momentum. Operating expenses to be at the area of minus 2% for the group, with Greece, of course, recording quite better performance. So overall, we should expect, as I said in our previous call, a core PPI to be flattish year on year. Now, regarding 2019, it could be quite early to comment, but anyway, our core PPI should not be expected to be materially different than 2018. Regarding cost of risk, as I said, we should expect something between 1.7 and 1.8. So overall, our core earnings before tax should be expected to be at the area of close to 30% higher than 2017. Specifically regarding NII, the answer is that we should expect some further pressure on lending margin, mainly coming from two drivers. The one is the competition on the performing business loans, the other one the restructured loans that come with low rates. However, we should expect that deleveraging will stop and start seeing some humble growth next year. So this will offset the negative drivers together with the carryover effect of ELA. Some further funding optimization that we should expect on due to the fact that our cover bonds have been qualified as investment grade, so our repos with these cover bonds are going to be much cheaper than currently, and some further decrease on deposit costs, which is not visible up to September, but it is quite visible in October and mainly November. This should be expected the main trend in NII, more or less the negative offsetting, the positive offsetting the negative drivers.
Okay, and how are you preparing yourselves in terms of disbursements for 2019, and how do you see that compared to 2018? And I know it might be a bit early to see, but I mean, being on the ground, the momentum from customers, what kind of budgeting are you expecting for next year?
I will not talk about disbursements because this is a very arbitrary, let's say, figure. I'm talking about the delta on gross loans. We should expect in Greece, an increase at the area of 1.5 to 2%, no more. But don't forget that apart from Greece, a significant part of our pre-provision income is coming from international. there we should expect there a lending increase at the area of 400 to 500 million euro, mainly coming from Bulgaria. Without considering, don't forget that, without considering the close to 900 million euro loans that will come in our balance sheet from the acquisition of Piraeus Bank in Bulgaria.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, guys.
The next question comes from the line of Hadzipanagis Orestis with Andreas Hadzipanagis. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. Thank you for all the information you shared. Very helpful. My question is a very easy one and a bit of a complex one. First of all, is the bank planning any additional, let's say, voluntary redundancy scheme to reduce OPEX further? Though the figure is very good at 46% cost to income, but is the bank planning any further VES scheme in 2019, let's say? And the second question, again, on the Bank of Greece plan, as we all know, the reduction of the capital position of the banks will come from the transfer of the deferred tax asset credits, let's say, to the bank. Eurobank, compared to at least Piraeus Bank and National Bank, has a good profitability compared to the deferred tax credits that it has. I mean, if you take Piraeus Bank, they have roughly equal profitability with 6.6 billion credits, and National Bank has the same credits with much lower profitability. So I would say that our deferred tax credits are much more realistic compared to our profitability. So given that, and given the need for a common plan between all banks, will the bank be critical in participating in this plan, because it will reduce our core tier 1 ratio? So these two questions on OPEX and the Bank of Greece plan. Thank you.
So for OPEX, as we saw on our presentation on page 17, on the upper right part of the page, we saw that on a group basis we are minus 2.3% so far in the year. Greece is minus 3.8%. This is why international is in a completely different momentum than Greek operations. The same pattern is expected also to be seen in next year. More specifically, regarding your question, in the last 12 months, we have reduced the number of branches by 85 and the number of staff by 600. For 2018, we don't envisage any further reduction in the number of branches, but in terms of employees, the answer is yes, the rationalization of operations is ongoing and will continue. Now, as I said, regarding Bank of Greece, it's very, very early to provide any comments regarding the, how robust is this plan. We have to examine, to analyze that, see potential pitfalls, but also its opportunities, and then come back with a more firm stance.
The next question comes from the line of Sonitsia Anastasia with UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for your presentation. I have several questions. First of all, according to your strategy, NPE reduction strategy till 2021, you should have around 5.5 billion sales. You already have some deals in pipeline for the next year, which you can share with us. That would be helpful. And the second question regarding your real estate portfolio strategy. Given that the prices are rebounding, do you expect to accelerate repossessions and sales next year? And the first question on loan book portfolio. How do you see pricing competition on lending market now? And also, when do you expect effect from back book loan portfolio repricing come to an end? Thank you.
Okay, if I understand well, your first question was about 2019 and how, what will be the mix, how we're going to achieve the result for 2019, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so 2019 being the first year of the new financial period, which is front-loaded as you said, is very, very critical for us. So, first of all, according to the plan, we shoot for an NPE delta of minus 3.7 billion. I think, first of all, the most important piece of instrument for the NPE reduction of 2019 will be the pillar reduction, I mean the securitization, the 2 billion euro securitization of our residential mortgages. Harris gave some info a few minutes ago. So this is very critical and we're very confident that this will be a successful transaction to be completed by the second quarter of 2019. On top of that, we expect to have another good year in terms of organic performance and as a guidance I could tell you that the NPE net flow will be more or less at the same level as 2018 and the same will apply for liquidations and auction proceeds. So practically it's in a nutshell we will use all normal, say, components of our strategy, restructuring, cash collections and liquidations. But on top, we have this 2 billion securitization transaction.
That's very helpful. And my second question on the real estate portfolio.
May you repeat your last question, please?
Sorry?
It's okay. Yeah. Sorry.
No, we're done. Sorry.
One more. Okay. Please continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Kaladonis for any closing comments. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you all for your participation. We are looking forward to seeing you in our next roadshow or in Athens.